Good morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that what we share here today moves everyone to a higher level of intimacy with you. And Father, that your spirit is working inside of each and every person's heart to give them the understanding that only you can bring to a person's heart and soul. We thank you for this day in Jesus' name, and we thank you for all the gifts that you give us every day throughout the day so that we can be thankful, and praise your holy name. And today I want to talk about, who do you say I am? This is a question that Jesus asked his disciples. And this is really the chewy caramel center to our day by day, walking in truth, walking in blessings, walking in abundance. Because the spiritual keys, the spiritual laws that always apply to life is all events, whatever happens on this earth, takes place in heaven or the spiritual realm first. And then it's manifest here on earth in the physical realm. Just like it says in the Our Father. I don't think most people are aware of that, but it's true, because our communication in our heart with the Lord and His Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven really works for saint and sinner alike, what we bring into the manifestation on this earth. And it all happens in a nanosecond. I mean, it just moves faster than the speed of life. It's just like the new birth. When we're born again, there's a moment in time where we really believe that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied all through the Old Testament, that He loves us more than we can imagine. And we believe in that love that God has for us, and we take Him mentally. We hear the words in our head, I believe, I surrender, I need you. And it's not just a head thing. We confess with our mouth, that's in our head, and we believe it in our heart. It's a heart thing. And in that flash, in that nanosecond, the miracle of all miracles takes place. We are redeemed, we're justified, and given eternal life. So many people want to talk about taking all these drugs to live forever. Folks, there is no drug, there's only Jesus. And He gives it to us for free by grace when we believe in who He is. And so we are filled with all these tremendous, tremendous spiritual blessings. And our job, our day-to-day part in all of this, is to simply keep the fire alive. Keep the fire burning. Keep the passion going. Keep the gratitude. Keep the thankfulness. Keep the trust. And it's all motivated. It's all energized by a four-letter word. There are lots of four-letter words in the Bible. Faith, fear. I guess faith is five. But a four-letter word. L-O-V-E, L-O-V-E, love. We believe this because somewhere in our heart, we believe that God loved us enough that He made a way, He made a plan for us to have a relationship with Him, not only in the here and now, but forever and ever and ever. Some years ago, I shared a teaching that really touched my soul and changed my thinking pattern. And it was called Grasshopper or Lion, which is teaching number 099, for those of you who want to look it up on the podcast. And it's centered on Numbers 13, when Moses sent 12 men to spy out what was called the Promised Land. These people had been in bondage. Israel had been in bondage for 400 years, I do believe. Sometimes I don't get all my facts as good as they were 20 years ago, but they'd been in bondage all this time, and a deliverer came, a tupos, a type, a shadow of the Messiah, Jesus. His name was Moses, and He brought them out of bondage into the Promised Land, and this was a land that was already given to them in the courts of heaven. God had declared, this is your land, I'm giving it to you. So, when they came back, these 12 men, They all agreed it was an amazing land, a place that flowed with milk and honey. But in spite of that, and this is why 12 people can read a promise in the Bible, and the number who believe it is probably going to be 20% to bring it into manifestation. But all 12 agreed, this is milk and honey. It's great. Awesome. But 10 feared. They came back and they said, oh, yeah, it's great, but the people, they're giants. They're huge. And we seemed like grasshoppers in their sight. No, not in their sight. In the 10 people's own sight, they felt like grasshoppers because they weren't sticking to the promise. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, declared, quote, we are well able to go up and take the land, for the Lord is with us and has given it into our hands. That goes for every promise written in the Bible or given to you by Rhema. If God gives it to you, you've already got it. You've just got to have the holy boldness to step out and take what is legally yours in the name, through the name of Jesus Christ. So here all these people can have the same promise, the same Bible, the same word given to them, but 10 fixated on their flesh, went back to religion, works, 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 and saw themselves as grasshoppers. Only 2, and that's about the ratio among believers, Christians, about 20% actually believe the words in this book. Some people can quote it, they can tell you a chapter and verse, they can tell you about a person's life, but do they really put it into practical application? So 2 of them saw it from God's perspective and stepped forward to claim what was already theirs. And Israel ended up, from where they were to the promised land, I think was about a 7 to 10 day journey. It took them 40 years to make that because of their what? Unbelief. And all the unbelievers died in those 40 years. Those 10 men and their families did not make it in the promised land. Joshua and Caleb not only made it in, but they were leaders in the promised land after Moses passed away. And the same pattern echoes today. What we believe is what we receive. What we believe is what we receive. And when you believe that the Lord of love loves you enough to keep his word to you, you know, when a person loves you, they tell you the truth. They back you up. They are there for you. On your worst day, they won't let you wallow in a pity party, but they will have compassion and understanding for who you are and build you up with words of comfort and exhortation. If you really want to know what love is, all you got to do is go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. That's perfect love. And perfect love casts out fear. Love is what energizes our faith, our trust in God. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love never fails. There is no downside to agape, to love, to God's love. And when we're not believing God's love for us, love is what energizes faith, but not believing in his love is what energizes fear. Faith, faith, faith. Faith means to trust God boldly, boldly, like a lion, like roaring. It all happens on the inside. You may not see this on your flesh, but it happens inside. Faith is to trust God boldly and know in your heart of hearts that nothing is going to separate us from the love of Christ, that he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all these things he's promised? And that we can do all things through our flesh? No, through Christ, who's always our strength. The minute we start depending on our strength alone, we're messed up. We're going to miss the target. And fear, on the other hand, is total opposite. It's what shrinks us down to that grasshopper. The whining and crying and feeling sorry for ourselves that problem's too big. There's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do outside of Christ because your flesh profits nothing. He not only speaks words that are life in our spirit, but He is our life in our spirit. He lives on the inside. But we have to keep the fire burning, remembering who He is. Who do you say I am? We get to choose to be lions or grasshoppers hundreds of times throughout the day. In Revelation 5:5, it says that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And I don't feel like doing a roar right now, but I wish you all would in your soul. Just roar, because that lion lives in you, in your spirit, in your soul, in every cell of your body. Believe that, ladies and gentlemen. And that Lion of Judah represents Jesus as the conquering, kingly, and triumphant Messiah. Did you hear that? Conquering, kingly, and triumphant Messiah. That's now your DNA. Peter says we're partakers of His divine nature. We're partakers. We're not God, but we're like our daddy. A chip off the old block. And, you know, if you look at life as yin and yang, I mean, God's all over there. He's the white hat. He's on the white side. The dark side, the blackness, that is the Satan. He doesn't fight against God. He fights against you. Nothing can fight against God. His fight is with mankind. He wants to take you captive and destroy your life. And thankfully, His methods have never changed, so we're not ignorant of His devices, because the oldest trick in the book, and Satan still uses it thousands of years later, is one word: deception, deception, deception. To deceive God's children, especially from the truth, from making the right decisions, from walking in love, trying to deceive you and me out of our spiritual identity, which nothing can take from you any more than you can change your DNA. Man, you got all these family trees that tell you who your ancestors were. Huh, my father's God. Well, my mother's God. God is a spirit. He did all the creation of mankind by Himself alone. That's what makes Him God. And just like Eve was deceived, I know we've got the serpent stuck in our head, but that word Nakash really means the shining one. He didn't come out looking like something that was repulsive. He came out looking like something that was beautiful, to be desired, beautiful for the eyes. And He seduced her with deception out of her God-given dominion. He said, follow me down this dark hole of pride. You need to know what evil is and you'll be just like God. The problem is, folks, Adam and Eve were already God-like. They had dominion and were king and queen over the entire earth. There was nothing not under their control. The only one higher than them was Elohim, the Creator. They were already like. Not gods, like. Because the word God means magistrate, magistrate. Well, who were the magistrates over all the earth in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve. Whatever they said went. Until deception came into the picture. And that was thousands of years ago. And you fast forward to today, 2026, and you know what life is? Rinse and repeat. Satan is still trying to mess with each and every one of you hearing this teaching today through deception. Because he knows when we know the truth, we believe it deep in our heart. It's not mental assent, it's trust. The truth sets us free over and over, every time, in every situation, all throughout the day. The truth is, Jesus is the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I don't feel like roaring today. My throat's a little sore, but look, I want you to roar in your heart right now. Just roar, man. Roar with victory, because He moved into you. He lives in you. You have a connection with heaven that nothing in hell or earth can hinder if you don't allow it. And that's why we're filled with all kinds of blessings. We're filled with supernatural power from on high. But when we get deceived, when we get distracted, we start looking at our flesh. And who can answer this question? What does the flesh profit? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus' words, Jesus' truth, they are spirit and they are life. And when we focus on who He is, make that connection that the Spirit of Christ lives in you, boom. That's when it happens. That's when you live in the realm of the supernatural. Go to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and oh, there's so much I could tell you about that, the parallels here, because that was such a pagan city. Not unlike today in the world in which we live, to be honest with you. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say I am?" Verse 14, they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And this is your question today, my friends. Verse 15, and he said to them, "But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" That's the question of all time. How does a person perceive Christ, the Lord's Messiah? Because you know what? That determines how you perceive yourself and everything else in life. How you deal with all of life's challenges. Because when you accepted Christ, he moved inside. Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? Is he strong enough to do that? Is he willing to do that? Does he love you enough to do that? Yes, yes, yes. Verse 16. So Simon Peter, we had a great Bible chat Wednesday about Peter. Hopefully we'll get that onto a podcast we can share soon. But Simon Peter, verse 16, look at this very, very, focus on this. "You are the Christ." That's the same word as Messiah. Christ just means Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the living God." And this next verse just melts your heart if you understand Bible principles. Verse 17, Jesus replied. I can almost see the love in his eyes. He probably had tears in his eyes. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who's in heaven." That's truth. That's why I say you can think about this stuff till the cows come in, but it's the believing in your heart that lights the fire, that ignites the fire. And you can't get that understanding, that genosko, that oida, without the Spirit of God being your teacher. The Spirit of God is like a lamp unto your soul and to your spirit. It's God's Spirit in you that brings you understanding of this word. Not my teachings, not my words, not even reading the Bible. I heard that the communist dictator Nikita Khrushchev had memorized the four Gospels. Why, I don't know. But did he believe it? No, he killed millions of people. But it's this click in your heart. And Jesus recognized, he perceived that Peter had come to the place, where he was hearing the voice of God and believing God over man's opinion, even his own opinion. He didn't say, "Lord, I think." He said, "You are the Christ." And that's called discerning of spirits. Jesus understood through word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. He perceived in his spirit that it was his Father in heaven that had opened Peter's eyes and brought the light to him. And you know what? That's what made Peter such a great leader out of the 12, because he learned how to walk by the Spirit even when Jesus was still here on earth in his fleshly ministry. And that's why the greatest question a man or woman can ever be asked is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Without that question, we don't even make it to Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's when we answer in the affirmative. We believe he's the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And that right there is like an explosion out of the pages of the Bible. It's like one of those things that just leaps out and says, this is the huge key right here to every good thing that happens to you in life. Who do you believe Jesus is? Was he a prophet? Was he some guy? Did he exist? Or was he, in fact, the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament all the way from Genesis 3:15? Yes, he was and is and shall be. But Jesus isn't done with this lesson. And boy, put on your seatbelt here. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, and I'm pretty sure Jesus was pointing to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, it should be in the text, it's very important, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What it? His church, his body of Christ. We're victorious in the end. We already know the ending. We defeat Satan. He's under our feet. We're going to the banquet of the wedding feast of the Lamb, and we're going to have eternity in paradise, which is a reconstituted earth. Read about it in Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And look at verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whenever you gave someone keys, you had a key of authority that you placed on their right shoulder, and they were anointed to carry out an authoritarian, a place of authority. The king was giving them reign to bring his edicts into the kingdom. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Honestly, I never understood that verse, but you all will in a minute, because I do. So when he says that, I say, you're Peter. That is the word in the Greek, Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, and it means a very small stone that can be blown about. Was Peter blown about? Yes. He was quite mercurial. He was quite up and down in his personality. You know, one minute he's walking on water, and the next minute he's freaking out. One minute he's telling Jesus he'll die for him, and the next minute he's denying him three times. But he said, you are Peter, you're Petros, and on this rock, it is the word Petra, very different Greek word, which means a massive foundational rock, a massive foundational rock. Well, who is the rock? Who is the foundation of the ecclesia? Not Peter, Jesus. Who do you say I am? He's the foundation. He's the foundation. He is the rock. Even talks about him in Daniel. A rock is going to come, this big mountain. It's going to crush all the principalities and powers of the world. He's the rock. So, the church, Jesus is the rock. But his words are carried out by us, imperfect people, Petros, who believe that he's the rock, who believe that he's the Messiah, who believe he loved us so much he gave his life. Man, nobody's ever given their life for me except Jesus. A lot of people never have given me anything, 2 cents. They give me grief. And there's some people out there that are really cool and nice and loving, but nobody is ever going to come close to loving you like Jesus loves you. And he's the one who builds his church through those of us that he gave the keys to the kingdom. That's you and me. That's what he was giving us, the keys to the kingdom. Okay, so the gates of, he said, you are Peter, on this rock, Jesus himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The word Hades is very different from the word hell. Hell is Gehenna, it means where the fire never ceases, and that's a whole other thing we're not going to talk about today. But Hades is the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead. It says where there's those thought or feelings or emotions. It's Job just says you're like in a coma. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that rabbit hole either. So Jesus is declaring to Peter and the apostles and disciples that what he's bringing through his life and ministry is he's crushing Satan's biggest weapon, because who has the power of death? Does it say in Hebrews? Satan. He has the power of death. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, what happened? He conquered death. That's why all believers in the Old Testament and the New Testament can have eternal life. We will go to sleep in the Lord, but we will never experience eternal death. Other people will. Hate to tell you, but that's the way the book goes. Jesus conquered Satan's biggest guns, his greatest jet, his biggest aircraft carrier, the atomic bomb, whatever. The biggest thing Satan can throw at mankind is sickness and death. That's the ultimate thing, to take them off the playing field. And Jesus overcame that, because even if you go to sleep in the Lord, you're going to be raised into eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15. So Jesus, he's the rock, but he gave us, you and me, he anointed and appointed us with the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. And he gave us the authority to bind and loose, to bind and loose. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Folks, we have the most incredible power. I can hardly even believe he gave that to us, but he did, because he trusts us more than we usually trust ourselves. I never really understood binding and loosing until I understood how the Jews interpreted that. And basically, here's what it stood for in the Jewish mentality. This is another one of those Eastern customs that you have to understand the words for it to really have impact. So first of all, when he gave us the keys to the kingdom, that gave you and I the authority to be his ambassadors, to be his hands and feet, to be his mouthpiece here on earth, and to proclaim God's truth. Number one being, Jesus is what? Messiah. He's Lord. He loves you. He wants to help you. He's not sitting around waiting to throw fiery arrows at you. He's waiting to make you whole. He's waiting to bless you. He's waiting to lift you up. So we have the authority to proclaim that truth. Jesus gave it to us. Angels don't have it. It's not their job. It's their job to minister to us who have the authority. That blows your mind. So, loosing. Loosing means to unlock or open a door. So what do we have the power to do? Again, I'm a little weepy today. I'm very emotional because of just love for my Savior. We have the power to open the door to the kingdom of God for the unsaved. We have the power to reconcile back mentally to God and bless those who are saved but have lost their way. Jesus, trust us with that. We are the ones who literally open the gate to heaven, not the pearly gate, just the gate to heaven, to welcome others into the salvation, the forgiveness, and to eternal life with God through our evangelistic speaking. So loosing really in the Bible, in the Jewish culture, meant to unlock a door, to give somebody power. And when something was bound, it was locked. we have the power of locking the door, binding, because we give the message freely to anyone, but if they reject it, if they remain outside, they have counted themselves unworthy for the kingdom of God due to their own unbelief. That's amazing. We are the gatekeeper. We are the messenger. We are the voice that can open the kingdom entrance to everyone who has ears to hear. Some will walk through that unlocked door and be blessed. Some will count themselves unworthy or in unbelief, and they're bound from the blessings of the kingdom. They have maybe blessed materially or physically or somehow in this world, but they're not making it into eternal life. That's the big biggie right there. This life is like, if you could take a pencil and draw a line past the end of the known galaxy, this life here would be like a dot where the point of the pen was literally put down on the paper. And that's why I continue to say all life is spiritual. This keys to the kingdom that Jesus gave us, they're spiritual. They have spiritual ramifications or spiritual blessings. And this powerfully connects Matthew 16, what I've just read to you, with the 12 spies in Numbers 13 and 14, because both frame pivotal moments where faith over fear determined receiving God's promise. Faith over fear determined receiving God's promise. And to live like this, to believe we are the messengers of heaven, to believe that we've been given this authority, we are literally his ambassadors representing another country into a foreign land. We're citizens of heaven. This world is not no longer our home. We're just passing through. We are heavenly messengers. And we have to put on the mindset which God spoke to the people that did enter the promised land. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You are the Lion of Judah's representatives. He's filled you with his nature. He's filled you with his power. He's filled you with his love. And what is that key to that trust in him? To see clearly who Christ is. Who do you say he is in believing that he dwells in you? Colossians 1:23 or whatever. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look, whatever your worldly beliefs, and I'm just like people, you know, find things you agree on with people, not things you disagree on. Be kind to one another, even if you disagree on stuff. But I think we can all agree the world is a hot mess. I don't think I've seen the world in this kind of a mess since the 60s. I mean, I saw Kennedy on TV being assassinated, our young, beautiful president, head blown off. A few years later, my hero, Martin Luther King, same thing. Months after him, same thing. Another person that I truly admired, Robert Kennedy. You know, whether you agreed with their politics or not, these were men who didn't deserve to be murdered. Nobody deserves that. Nobody, ever. And yet it was done in public every time in the zeitgeist, the way America was thinking. It was crazy. I mean, there was so much tension. There was so much turmoil. And then it seems like things swung the other way and things kind of tamped down for a while and things were pretty great, to be honest with you, compared to today, where there are people fighting one another in families and friendships and all this because of certain beliefs. Look, people, the only belief that I give two hoots about is who is Jesus. The only action I really give two hoots about is love one another as he loved me. Whatever our personal commitments or beliefs are, great. That's between you and God. You know, I saw a quote the other day that said, get your own house together before you start criticizing the world. Get your own house together before you start criticizing the world. And I remember my daddy said the same thing to me years ago when we were coming, we were locking horns and butting heads together. And I was a hot mess when I was a teenager. And he looked at me one day and he said, why don't you try cleaning up your own front porch before you clean up my backyard? Words to live by. But people, we are in a great war today. There's a lot of demonic stuff happening that used to be kind of under the radar, and now it's just, they're so bold, they're coming out in public. And I don't really, that's what concerns me about life. We are in a great spiritual war today. As Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, this nation is having a test whether this nation or any society built on godly principles can long endure. The reason all this mess is happening is because of Genesis chapter 3. The same shiny one who craved the worship that belongs to God. The worship that belongs to God. He wants it for himself. Lucifer. Diablos, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the shiny one, the serpent. Our job is to bring the good news of who God is, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, it says in Matthew 6, if your eye is full of darkness, if you look at some of this satanic stuff and you embrace it, it says your whole body is full of darkness. But if your eye is single, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is the Lord God Almighty, my Father, who created Jesus to set men free? Then your whole body is filled with light. And that's why it says at the end of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom, we've been given the keys to the kingdom of God, and his right way of living. That's righteousness, right way of living. And everything we need on this plane is already given us. We've already got it. Our part is just to do what we were born in the first place to do. Worship God, love him, share that love with everybody who's got an ear to hear, eyes to see. And the bottom line is Jesus builds his unstoppable church on solid ground, the rock, that he is very Christ. And because of that, Hades, death, Satan, the strongest enemy, cannot defeat or silence God's eternal plan. Satan would love to get every soul to believe in him because they are doomed to eternal gloom. We are the light bearers. We're the light givers. And that's why that one phrase is so paramount. Who? Jesus is asking you right now while I'm teaching this, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Do you realize you've gotten everything by grace, that you didn't work for this? Do you understand that every blessing comes by grace, not by the works of your flesh? Do you understand that you're my hands and feet here on this earth? And that you now take the place of the rock, me, here, as my voice, my love, my compassion, my healing, to reach out to other men and women and open the gate and give them an invitation into the kingdom of God. Man. And when you get out and walk in love and speak in love and speak in boldness and you serve the Master, you're a lion. L-I-O-N, roar, hear me roar. And when the world distracts you with those shiny objects of deception, saying this is more important than what I can do for God, or would God do that for me, or am I worthy of this blessing? You're the grasshopper. You're still a son of God, but your mindset. Remember, it happens in your heart, in heaven, in the spiritual realm first. Then it manifests here on earth, just like the Our Father says. Who do you say Jesus is? So many people, and this is the rub, why there's one out of five that probably literally believes the actual words in the Bible. A lot of people have taken Jesus as their Savior, but the number dwindles for those of us who take Jesus as our Lord. Our Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Can Jesus do that for you? The answer is yes. Will he do that for you? The answer is yes. When you literally know Genosko, and your thinker, and your feeler, and your chooser, that's your subconscious, your heart. Out of your belly, that part of your body, your heart, out of that belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you literally know deep in your heart, Genosko, yada, intimate, that Jesus is your Messiah, the promised one, the promised seed, the line of Judah, who brought to earth a new and better covenant. When that burns with fire inside your soul, that's when you will be strong and of a good courage, and you will know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what's happening in life, life or death or principalities or powers or angels or all that other stuff talked about in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that's when you and I will boldly declare, the Lord is on my side, and I'm on his side. Therefore, we are well able to go up and take the promised land. Whether it's sickness or loneliness or finances or mental clarity, any challenge that this world can throw at us, Jesus' answer is always yes. I will deliver you. Yes, I will supply. Yes, I will be your helper. Yes, I will be your strength. And I know because I have experienced all of the above in my lifetime. Sickness, loneliness, finances, mental clarity, challenges. And the Lord of love has delivered me every single time when I put my trust in him. And just like Peter, I let him bring the understanding. I let him bring the truth to my spirit, my soul, my spirit man. I listen to the voice of God in my heart. I firmly believe that we are living in one of the most consequential times in all of human history, spiritually speaking. And we all are called to put on our A game. And as we live and step into the land of promises and live our creed, not just talk about it, but we're doers of the word, not hearers only, we can open the door for countless others to step into the kingdom as they see our victory in Jesus. Because Jesus asked the billion-dollar question back there in Matthew, who do you say I am? And that one answer determines the rest of your life. Over and over and over. You are not a grasshopper. You are filled to the brim with the Lion of Judah. When you have that mindset, you roar inside. And you bring great glory unto God. You know, it says, even the youth shall faint and the young man shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon their Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is our strength. Jesus is our hope. He is our righteousness. He's our justification. Nothing is too hard for him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beauty, this place of beauty that we can live in the here and now in our spirit. If the whole world is crumbling, if the house falls down around me, I've still got Jesus. and like a phoenix rising from the ashes, as long as I keep my eyes on him, victory is guaranteed. And in that frame of mind and heart and action, I am literally a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And I can open that gate for many people to see the example of what it means to live like Jesus and be encouraged to step into that kingdom life and give it a try. So, Father, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourself. And that is the great commandment. So thank you, Lord, for bringing us and letting us be born in this day and time and hour where we have the freedom to have a Bible. We have the freedom to open our mouth and speak boldly for you on your behalf. And we have the keys to the kingdom. Teach every person listening to this how to more effectually use their keys in Jesus' holy name. We bless you and we praise you. Amen, amen, amen.